The bottom of Yudalit Amid Beis, 28, all the way at the bottom of the page. Last line. By you it's 14b, well, by me it's 4b, 5, 4, by you it's 4, 5. Before we go further, I have to explain the next piece of Gemara that we should understand. There's a concept called Lav Hanita Glase. Lav Hanita Glase means a negative commandment which is followed by a positive mitzvah. The din is you don't get caught, you don't get malchus, you don't get lashes for that negative commandment. Meaning, even though as a rule for negative commandments you get malchus, but if it's followed up by a positive mitzvah which rectifies the negative mitzvah, you don't get malchus. For instance, the Torah says you're not allowed to steal. If you do, return the lost article, the stolen article. The Torah says, don't take the mother bird, you know, send away the mother bird. You know, don't take away the kids without the mother, send away the mother bird. So you see that there's a negative commandment, which is followed by a positive commandment, which rectifies the negative commandment. That we learn out from Psukim, that for that you don't get Malchus. Okay? What happens, the Gemara is going to discuss now, if the positive mitzvah comes before the negative mitzvah. The positive mitzvah comes before the negative mitzvah. Do you get lashes for that negative commandment or not? Okay? Now the Gemara explains it as follows. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, mamish the bottom line. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabba Bar Barchana said the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Kol Leisa Asa, any negative commandment, Shekodmo Ese, which is preceded by a positive mitzvah, like in all of, you get malchus for it. Okay? Meaning, it's not a normal case where the positive mitzvah is a remedy for the negative mitzvah. Here there's a positive mitzvah anyway, do something. Then the Torah follows it up with a negative commandment. So the Bechon said, you get malchus for such a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Amrulay, so the people that heard this ruling, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, said to Rabbi Yechanan, that he said to him, Amarta, did you ever say such a thing? Amar Lei said, no, I never said it. Which means, not that he didn't say it. He means he changed his mind. He said, no, I don't hold of it now, I changed my mind. And they hold, you don't get Malchus for it. So the Gemara said, Amar Abba, so Abba later commented and said the following, O Elohim, so to speak, this expression, I swear by God, Amr, he said it, Uksiv, and he wrote it, V'tanina, and it's written in Chumash, and it's even mentioned in Gemara, Mishnah and Gemara. Meaning, he says like this, not only did Rabbi Yechanan say it, but we learn it out in Chumash, and it's even in the Mishnah. He said, what does this mean? He says as follows, Ksiva, where is it written in Chumash? Because it says, V'yishalchu min ha-machana, you have to send away from the camp all the impure people, and then it says, "V'lo yitamus machaneim," that you shouldn't impurify the camp. So over there, what does the Torah say? First, the Torah says the positive mitzvah, send away from the camp. Then the Torah says the negative mitzvahs, that we shouldn't impurify the camp. Which means, the Tanina, we learned it in the Braisa, Habal Migdash Tamei, if somebody comes into the Beis HaMikdash, who is Tamei, they get Malchus. Yeah, they get Malchus. Aye, it's a positive mitzvah first, followed by a negative mitzvah. So you see that a positive mitzvah, which is followed by a negative mitzvah, you do get Malchus. If it's a negative mitzvah, followed by a positive mitzvah, then you don't get Malchus. But if it's first a positive mitzvah, followed by a negative mitzvah, the Gemara says, you see clearly, from the Mishnah, the Braisa, you get Malchus. So he says, my time so why did Rabbi Yechanan change his mind? If it's a Pasuk in Chumash, and it's a Mishnah, so why did Rabbi Yechanan change his mind? So he says, Mishum the Kasiel le'enish, he had a problem from the story of a rapist. What does it mean, the halach of a rapist? Because it says, Einish Shegirish, if the rapist divorces his wife, I'll explain in a second, Im Yisrael, who, if it's a Yisrael, he has to remarry her. Machzor, he has to remarry her. Ve'en alayk, it doesn't get malchus. Im kainu, but if he's a kainu, cannot remarry his divorcee. Leike, he gets malchus. Ve'en machzor, and he doesn't remarry her. Meaning as follows. The Torah says, in a halacha, the following halacha. If a man rapes a woman, she has to stay, he has to marry her. He has to marry her. And then the Torah says, he can't send her away, meaning he can't divorce her for her entire life. First, the Torah says, v'lay sihi al-isha, v'lay with a vav, meaning to him he should marry her. And then it says he can never divorce her. The logic behind the mitzvah, obviously everything is because Eibishta said so, the logic behind the mitzvah is because a woman who was raped, nobody's going to want to marry her. So therefore the Torah says, listen, you messed her up, so you have to marry her. So the din is as follows. If a guy, God forbid, raped this woman, he has to marry her. Obviously, if she's not a married woman, right? He has to marry her. So then the din is, what happens if he married her? Does he get malchus or not? So the Gemara says, no, I'm sorry, if he divorced her. The Torah says, you're not allowed to divorce her. What happens if he divorced her? So he transgressed a negative commandment. The Torah says, you can't divorce her. So the Gemara says, if it's a Yisrael, he has to remarry her afterwards, and therefore he won't get malchus. It's an interesting concept. First the Torah says, marry her. Then the Torah says, don't divorce her. Again, first the positive mitzvah, and then the negative mitzvah, right? Which is different. Now, what's the positive mitzvah? Marry her. The negative mitzvah is don't divorce her. But if this guy did divorce her, right, the rapist divorced his wife. So now the question is, does he get malchus or not? So the Gemara says very simple. If the guy, the rapist, is a Yisrael, who is allowed to remarry his divorcee, so according to this Braisa, the Torah says, what do you do? He has to remarry her, and then he won't get whipped. Because he rectified the negative commandment by doing the positive, even though the positive was first. Okay? What happens if he's a Kohen? A Kohen is not allowed to remarry a divorcee. Right? So the Kohen raped this girl, now he married her, then he divorced her, which he wasn't allowed to do. He can't rectify it, because he can't remarry her, because a Kohen can't marry a divorcee. Even his own divorcee, he can't. Like we learned in the other Gemaras, when a Kohen, in the olden times, they don't do it nowadays, but in the olden times, well, not in the olden times, Kohenim have bad tempers. It's known that Kohenim have a lot of temper. So the Gemara says, in the time of the Gemara, whenever a Kohen wanted to divorce his wife, he wrote what was called a get bekusha. It was a unique type of a get. It took a very long time to write it. They wrote a line, they folded it over, then they wrote the next. It's a whole longer process. Why? Because Kohenim have bad tempers, like we said, and he's going to get angry at his wife, and he's going to run to Bez and right away say, give her a get, because in the olden times, you could divorce her against her will. You could write a get and throw it at her, and she's divorced. Right? So what are we afraid of? The Kohen's going to have a bad temper, he's going to get angry at his wife, he's going to divorce her, and the Kohen can't remarry his own divorce even, because the Kohen can't marry a divorced woman. So what do? They try to calm that guy down. How do they calm down? They write a long get. It takes a long time to write. Nowadays they don't do it. A Yisrael, we don't care about. If a Yisrael gets angry at his wife and wants to divorce her, let him divorce. He wants to remarry. He'll remarry her. What's the problem? He'll calm down. He'll remarry her. So Kohen can't even remarry his own divorcee. That's why when the Kohen does a get, they make sure to tell him, you know, are you certain? Because if you have any doubts, you're going to have a problem because you can't change your mind later, so I want to remarry her again. So it's a very big problem.
If what? The rapist doesn't want to marry the girl to begin with, what happens to him?
Bezdin makes him. But now the question is, what happens if he divorces her?
How happens if the rapist is married?
Then they have two wives. That's what he said. If the woman was married, then he couldn't marry her because she's a married woman. Right? No, he committed adultery. You can marry, men could have many wives. Not nowadays. In the olden times.
But she would stay
in the good old times.
But she would stay with her husband?
If who?
She was married?
A married woman?
She was allowed to her husband or not?
If he wasn't a Kohen. If the wife of a Kohen, God forbid, is raped, he has to divorce his wife.
That's
huh?
Not
Yisrael. No, a Levi in Yisrael, not. Because a Kohen is not allowed to marry or live with a woman who had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry. Right? Because a Kohen is not allowed to marry a girl that had relations with somebody that she would not be allowed to marry. For instance, a girl that lived with a guy, right, cannot marry a Kohen. Because that girl cannot marry the guy, right? So therefore, she lived with somebody she would not be allowed to marry, so therefore, she's forbidden to that girl is forbidden to marry a Kohen. Right?
Today,
today also. In the olden times, 10 years ago, yeah. Lived with a guy.
10 years later, she gets religious.
She cannot marry a Kohen.
Who's their checkup on? How are they going to find out?
She would,
they have to ask. They have to ask. If they're from, they ask. And they find out the halacha. Who a Kohen is allowed to marry. Now, if a Kohen's wife, God forbid, was raped by somebody, while she's married to the Kohen, she can't marry that guy. Right? So even if it was against her will, she was raped, still she cannot stay married to her husband who's a Kohen. A Yisrael, whose wife was forced, meaning raped, he can stay married to her. If she willingly committed adultery, he cannot stay married to her. And the guy she committed the sin with can also not marry her. That means if somebody's wife willingly had an affair with somebody, right, she cannot stay married to her husband, and she cannot marry the guy she had an affair with.
The old days, right?
No, nowadays. Today nobody has affairs, so it doesn't matter.
The only problem I have with what you just said is that at the beginning you said Eve, the mitzvah finishes with the positive commandment. Then it doesn't get lashed.
Right. But that's what the Gemara is, this is exactly what the Gemara is asking.
But
right.
Right. At the end of it.
Right. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yechanan said a statement that if the positive mitzvah comes before the negative mitzvah, you get whipped when you transgress the negative commandment. Yet this Braisa says the din is follows. If the Jew raped a woman, a Yisrael, not a Kohen, if a Yisrael raped a woman, and the Torah says you have to stay married to her, it says like this, you have to marry her, you can never divorce her.
Right.
And he divorced her. So the Gemara says he doesn't get Malchus because he has to remarry her. But over here, the positive mitzvah came first. So if Rabbi Yechanan is going to say that you would get Malchus, this din says it doesn't get Malchus.
Well, no.
That's why Rabbi Yechanan changed his mind. No, he probably would have to marry anyway. Because it says Machse. When Bezin had power, they made somebody do it. They made him do a chuppah. Just like Bezin had the ability to force people to divorce their wives. In times when Bezin felt the guy had to divorce his wife for whatever, they beat him up. Yeah, but they beat him up until he said, I do it, yeah? Yeah, they beat him up until he says, I want to marry her.
But I'm saying more than that. The problem is, now you said that Israel, if he goes and marries her again, he doesn't get lashed.
Right.
But this part is a voluntary act. There is no mitzvah from the Torah. The third commandment, so called,
no.
There was, which is not.
There is a mitzvah. You have to marry her.
Again, after divorce.
No, the fact that the Torah says you have to marry her and you can't divorce her.
Right.
So the Gemara is learning that the positive mitzvah, it doesn't matter, it's before, it's after, it's all the same thing. It's like before and after, it's all the same thing. It doesn't matter.
So this guy can divorce as soon as they want to lash him, he gets married, he can do this 100 times.
Yeah, but how many times?
Gets divorced, gets married.
And gets whipped the whole time.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, right, you're right. You're right, he wouldn't get whipped. Huh? What happened he did without a Bezdin? You're right, the Bezdin's not going to give a get. The Bezdin's not going to help him write a get. But if a guy wrote a get on a kosher piece of paper and gave it to the woman, you know. So the Gemara asks as follows. Im Yisrohu, if it, the guy's a Yisrohu. It says, Machse, he remarries her. Veina, like, and he doesn't get Malkus. So the Gemara says, am I, why? Loisasa shekod me esahu. It's a negative mitzvah, which is preceded by a positive mitzvah. Right? Vilelko, and according to Rabbi Yechon's original law, he should get Malkus. Yet the Braisa says, he doesn't get Malkus. Right? So the Gemara is asking, if he's not going to get Malkus, that's where Rabbi Yechon changed his mind and said that if the positive mitzvah comes before the negative mitzvah, you still don't get whipped. Means that's why the Gemara says he changed his mind. But the Gemara is going to explain now that Rabbi Yechon didn't have to change his mind. It still makes sense. And he says as follows. Ula said, so he says like this, he could learn from this din that anyway, exactly as Rabbi Yechon said, L'yeim ha'reditated doesn't have to say, L'yisi yali'isha ba'inis, that in the case of a rapist, the Torah wouldn't have to tell you that you have to, that you could marry, that you have to marry her. Meaning like this. And the gist of the Gemara coming up, it's not hard, it's just you have to keep in mind one point. There's a difference, according to the Gemara, meanwhile, if first is the negative mitzvah, then the positive mitzvah, or the positive mitzvah first, then the negative mitzvah. That means everybody says a negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah, everybody says you don't get malchus, you don't get whipped. The whole issue over here is when the positive mitzvah comes first, if the positive mitzvah comes first, then the negative mitzvah, whether you get whipped or not. Okay? So the Gemara was talking about a case, what's called anus. Anus means a guy raped a woman. So the Torah says as follows. He must marry her. He cannot divorce her. So there's a positive mitzvah first, then a negative mitzvah. Okay? What the Gemara is going to do now, and this is a unique Torah concept, the Gemara is going to say that case is really the negative mitzvah comes first. Even though in Chumash, first comes the positive mitzvah, marry her. And then the Torah says, don't divorce her. But based on the way the Gemara is going to drain now, turn, is going to be like that the negative mitzvah came first. Okay. The Gemara is going to say, that first positive, I'm going to just tell you the concept. The first positive mitzvah, we don't need the Torah to tell it to me. Because I can really learn it out from somebody else. That he has to marry her. Okay? So if I don't need it, let's put it where somewhere else where we might need it. That's the rule in Chumash. If the Torah says something and you don't need it, because I can learn it from somewhere else, then we take this pasuk and we put it where we do need it. That's the way the Torah works. Okay? Now, the Gemara is going to say, the Torah says by a rapist, marry her, don't divorce her. That positive mitzvah of marry her, I don't need. I can learn it out from somewhere else that he has to marry her. So if it's extra, you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to put it after it. If I don't need the positive mitzvah before to teach me that you have to marry her, I'm going to put it where I do need it. Where do I need it? Right after the negative commandment. What do I need it for? To tell me that you don't get whipped. Because if the negative mitzvah comes first, and then there's a positive mitzvah, it teaches me that you don't get whipped. So I'm going to take this positive mitzvah that I don't need, and I'm going to put it after the negative mitzvah, where I could use it, and that's where I'm going to learn out from it.
So you choose the answer first.
And no, that's not what me and you could do.
No, but that's what you're doing. Because you don't need to marry her. You're right. If the Torah only said, don't divorce her, obviously it meant that you were supposed to marry her and not to divorce her.
No, the Gemara says, maybe the Torah would mean, you don't have to marry her. But if you did, then don't divorce her. I mean, it's possible the Torah could mean that too. But the Gemara says you can learn it out from Motzi Shemra. This is meaning as follows. There's another case. There's another din. It's called Motzi Shemra. What's the case of Motzi Shemra? A guy marries a woman who officially was supposed to be a virgin. And the next day after the marriage, the guy comes running to Bez and she's not a virgin. And she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the marriage, which years ago was 12 months separation. So the Gemara says, they come to Bezdin and Bezdin checks out the situation if it's true or not. If Bezdin found out the guy's lying and she was a virgin, the Torah says he has to marry her, stay married to her rather, and he can never divorce her. Now, over there, the guy didn't do any active wrong. He married her. He just said the next day she's not a virgin, and she was, but he didn't do anything wrong. Yet, the Torah says you have to stay married to her. So, anus, raping, that you did something wrong, for sure you have to stay married to her. Not as bad. This is speech and this is action. If I say I'm going to steal from you, or I actually steal from you, is different.
But in this case, you have to marry her and stay married.
Right. So the din is the same. So the Gemara is saying as follows. By the case of Einis, by the case of the rapist, I don't need the Torah tells me, marry her, don't divorce her. But the Torah really doesn't have to tell me marry her, because I could learn that out from this other din, what's called Motzi Shemra, that you let out a bad name about the girl. Why does the Torah say now, marry her? But I don't need it. So I'm going to put it instead of before the negative commandment, I'm going to stick it after the negative commandment to teach me a din. What is it going to teach me? That it's a negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah and you don't get malchus. The exception is if she doesn't want, he doesn't have to. But we're speaking in a case which he wants. Because who else is going to marry her, right? So to speak. Yes, he has to stay married to her. With all the legal obligations that a man has to a wife.
So why would you learn this from the other one?
Because if Motzi Shemra, like you said, didn't do any action of evil, he married a woman. The next day he comes to Bezdin and says she's not a virgin, but he didn't do anything wrong. And yet the Torah says you have to marry her. So a rapist who did something wrong for sure has to marry the girl he raped.
I don't understand it. The whole thing is to protect the girl of her livelihood, that she has a roof over her head.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because maybe you don't learn this from her, because he married her to begin with. In the other case, the virginity situation, he did want to marry her, she didn't want to marry him. The question was if she did something wrong. How can you learn from there here that this guy, by force, has to marry her?
We're talking because she wants to stay married to the guy. She wants to stay married to him. Because in her mind, like it was in the olden time, nobody would want to marry such a girl. Nobody wants to marry such a girl. The girl wants to stay married to the guy. There's a famous Gemara in Kedushin that today's women's libbers despise. The Gemara says, this stuff they know. There's a Gemara in Kedushin that says, Tav lemesiv tandu, mi lemesiv armalu, which means, a woman would rather stay married to any yukul than to stay alone. Oh yeah, you kidding? It's one of the Gemaras that they constantly quote of the Torah being chauvinistic. Because the Torah doesn't say about a man that a man would be willing to marry any woman not to stay alone. But by a woman, so therefore, instead, so therefore the woman would want more than the man. Even though Luchay, it's a guy that raped her, whatever. You never speak to them. Yeah. Doesn't matter. No, she's married. But that's what we learned. I don't know if you were here. If a kohen, he can't remarry her.
So he just gets lashes and walks away.
If a kohen, I'll give you an example. If a kohen rapes a single girl, he has to marry her. Right? If a kohen rapes a divorcee, he can't marry her. Because it's a negative mitzvah, says don't. He gets whipped. Because he can never rectify the situation. Right? Now we're trying to figure out, is it okay anyway that he get whipped? What is first? Is the positive mitzvah first or is the negative mitzvah first? So if you just take the Chumash as it is, first is the positive mitzvah, he has to marry her, and then the Torah says you can't divorce her. Right? But the Gemara is going to learn that that pasuk is not like that. That because we don't need it and stick it where we do need it, so the Gemara is going to say that really the negative mitzvah comes first and then the positive mitzvah. In other words, the Gemara is going to take one and two and say that because I don't need one, I'm going to put one where I do need it after two. Because then becomes a lav connected to a positive mitzvah, then you don't get malchus. This is what the Gemara says. Amr Ula Ula said, about 10 lines from the top of the page, Tezvav. It says in the Pasuk, Leisiya Leisha, that you should be for her a wife, meaning you have to marry her. So he says, the anus is really by the case of anus. Meaning, Veligma Meitzi Shemra. The truth is, you can learn this din out that he has to marry her for Meitzi Shemra. Meaning, what's Meitzi Shemra? Like we said, a guy marries a woman, the next day he comes to bed and says she's not a virgin and she committed adultery after we were had Kedushin. And the din is a ma meitzi. Well, how do I learn it out? Through a kal v'chomer, so to speak. Ma meitzi shemra. What if meitzi shemra, who's only defaming the woman, shalai osa meitzi, didn't do a sinful action. He only did a sinful speech. He didn't rape her. He married his wife. And then the next day he comes and says she wasn't a psula. Yet, Amir Achman of the Torah says, v'loi sihi yali isha, that he has to be for her, she has to become his wife. So anus, a case of a rapist, that Taka did an aveda. Mamish did an aveda by raping her. Lekol shikain, for sure he has to stay married. So if so, lama namad, so why does the Torah teach me by anus, by the case of the rapist, that you have to marry her? I learned it out from Meitzi Shemra. So the Gemara says, im einin in the fun of, if I don't need it for before, meaning if I don't need the one before the two, then tenel inyan acharav, put the one after the two. What does it mean? Shim girish, that if he could divorce her, yachzer, he could remarry her, and then he doesn't have to get malchus. Why? Because it's a lav followed by a positive mitzvah, and any negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah, you don't get divorce. You don't get malchus. So therefore, the Gemara says, Einis is not a question on Rabbi Yochanan's din. Rabbi Yochanan said a din that any time you have a positive mitzvah first, followed by a negative mitzvah, you get malchus. And then Rabbi Yochanan says he changed his mind, and the Gemara says, why did he change his mind? Because Einis, we learned in the Braisa, where the positive mitzvah is first, yet it says you don't get malchus, even though the positive mitzvah comes first. And Rabbi Yochanan said a statement that when the positive mitzvah comes first, you do get malchus, right? So that's what the Gemara says, but over here is different. Because we don't need it for before, so put it after. That means, Einis does not get malchus, the rapist doesn't get malchus, why not? Because it's a negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah. Even though Chumash doesn't say it that way, but we don't need it before, we put it afterwards. But in the case where there's a normal positive mitzvah, followed by a negative commandment, you get malchus for the negative commandment. Well, I just want to explain the concept why. I didn't explain it before. When you have first a negative mitzvah, followed by a positive mitzvah, for instance, the Torah says like this, don't steal, return what you stole. So this is fixing what you did. But when you have a general statement, for instance, the Torah says, send the impure guy away from the camp. And then the Torah says, he shouldn't come back into the camp. It's not fixing the positive mitzvah. The positive mitzvah is there. Send everybody away. That's a positive mitzvah. The positive mitzvah is not fixing the negative mitzvah. It's a general mitzvah. Send everybody who is impure, tamei, send them away. Then the Torah says, impure people cannot come into the camp. But it's not that the positive mitzvah is fixing and rectifying the negative commandment. What does this mean? Very simple. The concept of malchus is a punishment. What's lashes? A guy did an aveda, right? You blew it, you have to get punished. But if I can fix what I did, why should I be punished? If I can fix what I did, why should I be punished? If I come into your house and break something, and then I fix it, mamish as good as it was before, I don't have to pay for what I did. I broke it, I fixed it. If I can't fix it, then I have to pay for it. So the Torah says, you transgress a negative commandment, you get punished. You get whipped. But if you can fix it by doing the positive mitzvah, and you do fix it, then you don't get punished. What do you have to get punished for?
So, talking a little bit on the other side, that's where the woman lives. We really don't care if what the woman feels like.
That's not true.
Because if the guy attacks the woman, right, and the woman ends up, because of extra reasons, marrying this guy, but if she really was, if he would have promised the first day, she would have never married him.
Right.
Now, because of the rape, she's marrying him. This is not really fixing it. Because she's worried that she's not going to marry anybody, and if she says no, she's going to stay home. So, but he's not going to get any marriage, because he's going to come and say, I want to marry
her.
She's the one who says no.
For her, as far as she's concerned, he fixed it by remarrying her.
No,
she can say, I don't want to marry him.
Sure, she doesn't have a free choice anymore.
She could say, I don't want to marry him.
No, you see, you bring the sample of an object that's broken and it's replaced. She's not at the situation she was a week ago. A week ago, she was a girl at home. She could have married anybody. She wasn't blemished. But now, after this action, even though she says no to this guy, she's not the same status. She's blemished. Maybe she doesn't like the guy. She's going to stay home, but she will never be married again. She has a status of a rape. Raped girl, raped woman. So he's gonna walk away without anything else.
You agree with him, huh? No. It's a good question, but there's a very good answer for it.
Of course, the only good answer I can think of is that the whole value of the girl is being married. If she doesn't want
to. I disagree with you. But you need Chassidus to understand it properly. And listen. First of all, there's a story. I don't remember all the details. It's a phenomenal story. It's a true story. They spoke a shidduch, a girl and a boy. And the family agreed to the shidduch, and everybody agreed to the shidduch. When the Kala met the boy, he was blind and crippled, like a whole bunch of... So she said, what? I'm going to marry this guy. I don't remember all the details of the story. So he said to her, come, I have to talk to you. I want to talk to you before the wedding. Huh? He comes and he tells the girl a story that there was a girl that was decreed in heaven that she should be blind and crippled and this and that and that and this and this. And there was a boy that loved the girl so much. He begged God that he should get all the illnesses of the girl. And it was a whole story. He said to the girl, basically, you are that girl and I'm that boy. Okay, they got married. if a Jew believes, just think about it from a Hasidic perspective, anything that happens in the world comes from God. The person is punished, like we learned many, many times. Huh? No, you're missing a major point. Every Jew is Hasidic. Some know about it, some don't know about it yet. Every Jew is a Hasid. Some know about it, some don't know yet about it. They'll find out soon. I'll give you an example. We learned a million times. If I smack you in the face, there's two issues. Hashem wanted you to be smacked. Because if not, Hashem wouldn't have let you get smacked. Right? God wanted you to get smacked. Why am I punished?
You're the agent.
So God should pay me, not punish me.
So
the answer is, because I didn't know what God wants. I had free choice to do it or not to do it. But as far as you were concerned, God wanted you to be hit. And that's it. Understand? No, I'm not done yet.
One second.
No, I'm saying something else. Shidduchim are made in heaven. Okay? God wanted this man and this woman to be married. By hook or by crook. Under normal circumstances, they might have not agreed to marry each other. The girl might have not agreed to marry the boy. You can't marry a girl against her will. You have to be, we learned it out from Rivka, we'll ask the girl, we need her opinion. So maybe it was destined, let's say his name is Reuven and Leah, let's say, okay? Reuven raped Leah. Maybe God wanted Reuven and Leah to be married, for whatever reason it is. That's part of the plan. But Leah would never agree to marry Reuven. God knew that. So God had to make her by hook or by crook that Reuven rapes her, and therefore Leah had to marry Reuven.
What happens to the free choice?
One second. So there's two issues. There's Reuven, by raping her, did an aveda and has to be punished, and so on and so on and so forth. Just like if I smack you in the face, I have to be punished. Right? But that has nothing to do with you. You had to get hit by God. I'm punished because that's not why I hit you. Instead, I hit you because I didn't aveda. God said, don't hit. I went against God. So maybe it could be that Hashem wanted Reuven to marry Leah. And Leah, like you said, would have never agreed. How did Hashem get her to agree?
I'm sorry, but what happens to her free will? Maybe she Who's has free the right to say no.
But Hashem wants her to get married.
But you're putting her in a situation that
she nothing is free
no.
will except who we marry is not free will. It's Baba Maisa. We don't marry free will.
At the end of the day,
40 days before we're born, before conception even. 40 days before conception, God already says who's married.
The son of Sarsu, right, no. But that doesn't happen. That's why Tisha B'Av we can't.
What do you mean it doesn't? What do you mean it doesn't happen?
Your chance. So why is 9 days before days?
So the Gemara asks a question. If you have free choice, right? If you have free choice who to marry, so how do you say, if it's already destined, who are you going to get married to? So why does the Gemara say you can even get married on Tisha B'Av? I mean, not married, get engaged to Tisha B'Av because somebody else shouldn't grab her. So the Gemara talks all about these things, and there's answers to the questions. Bottom line is, God set the Shidduch of Reuven to Leah. And you to whoever you're going to marry. Him to whoever he's going to marry. And him to whoever they married. It's done. It's a done deal. We think we have free choice. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you didn't answer. What does it have to do with raping? The guy raped her and then came and said it was act of God that I had to rape her to meet you?
No, that he's not allowed to say that. God wanted it that way.
But if somebody wants to, let's say somebody wants to be punished, and you say God sends an agent A to punish him, agent A gets beefed because he didn't know what God wanted, right?
Right.
So the guy who did the rape, this woman you are saying needed to be paid. To be married. Who said that this guy had to rape her? Maybe somebody else had to rape
but
her.
But Hashem wants him to marry her.
But now, at the end of the day, she has an option to tell the guy, yes, I want to marry you, or no, I don't want to marry you. Because the option is in the Gemara, no?
Right.
If she says no, the guy's off the hook.
You could don't go all that I'm far. But the Gemara's assumption is, the Tater's
she
assumption,
will say yes.
She will say yes.
Right, but it's a...
Why? Because who's going to marry her in the olden days?
No, exactly. So now you are going backwards, because you put her in a position that she has to say yes. Now you are saying she's going to say
that's
yes.
Why God made it happen.
So it's okay to rape?
No, no!
No, you can't have it both ways. It's either this or that. So if I rape somebody, I say,
wait a minute,
no,
is it okay? Is it okay for me to hit you?
If you want to, I guess it's okay.
No, it's a sin. In today's Rambam, it's a sin. You're not allowed to hit another Jew. The Rambam says even just picking up your hand to hit them, even if you don't hit them, you're called a rush.
Fair, Rabbi. It's not a good example.
Life
I'm
is not fair.
I'm not going to end up living with you for the rest of my life because you hit me once. You walk away. This has consequences. The girl is going to marry
him. But she's going to want to marry him. The assumption is the girl wants to marry her. If the assumption would be in the Torah that the girl doesn't want to marry her, him, the Torah wouldn't force him to marry her.
Let me ask you something. I put you in a chapter 11 position. Then I force you to sell your property to me. Then I say, you wanted to sell your property to me. Then you say, yeah, because I'm in this situation. So it's a vicious circle. You put the girl in a position that she has to say yes, then you say what she wanted to say yes. Because she's not going to marry.
Your example is only half true, but you're missing out the second half. There's before the fact and after the fact. Let me ask you a question. If I were to come over to you to hit you, does that mean you have to let me?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to come.
Or do you have to run away?
It's not a fair example. Let's talk about the
rape. I'm talking about... Okay, if a man's coming over to rape a girl, should the girl say, yeah, rape me? Because God wants it?
The laws are different too. You told me yourself that laws are different. If she agrees, let's say she's married, if one would be adultery, the other one would be forced. One who has to divorce the husband, the other one, she doesn't have to divorce the husband.
Yeah, but it's not true. Because, no, if a man comes over to a married woman with a gun...
She should shoot.
No, according to Allah, she's allowed to live with him. A man not and a woman, yes. Because she's passive, not active. If a man comes over to a man with a gun and says, commit adultery or else I'll kill you, the man has to say, kill me. If a woman is held to gunpoint and says, you know, live with me or else I'm going to... A married woman, live with me or else I'm going to kill you, the woman is supposed to say, okay, I'll live with you. That's the law. So a woman can't say, okay, rape me, because that's what God wants to happen. You have to stop it. But that's all before the fact. After the fact is over that it happened, Hashem wanted it to happen. Why? Because Reuven has to marry Leah. And if Reuven has to marry Leah, this one away. God made it happen. Every issue is different. If I hit you, there's two things. There's what I did, and there's what you got.
All right. Two different. Just one more thing. I'm sorry, but let's say Baba came back. Gamma, you say the cow that hits other animals. After 2-3 times, he has a different deal because you know you have to keep this cow away. Let's say you have somebody in the camp that is going around raping everybody and he's ending up with 10 wives. You say God wants him to...
No, Bezin punishes the guy. What do you think?
No, he would marry them. No, he marries all 10. He rapes and he marries.
That doesn't mean he's allowed to. Bezin would lock the guy up and not let him do it anymore.
But why?
What do you mean, why?
The guy comes and says, God wants me to have 10 wives. I want to marry these people. He's okay by halacha.
What no, he's not.
Halacha is okay if he...
Can I say I want to hit you and pay for it?
No hitting. It says right there, if the guy rapes...
Raping
the
woman, is hitting.
He can marry her.
Can I say to you, let me punch you and I'll pay you for it?
No. The guy,
same thing.
If the guy rapes a woman, is he allowed to marry her? Yes.
Yeah. Does it mean you let the guy keep raping women? No.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? Because it's a sin.
Why is it a sin? If he ends up marrying them,
it doesn't matter. There's a sin to rape anyway. Doesn't mean he's allowed to.
Just said it's
can a guy steal with the intent of giving back?
You sure you just said it's rectifiable? You brought
that doesn't mean
number two, and you said it's rectifiable.
That's after you did the sin. It doesn't. The Torah says, "Don't steal. If you steal, give it back." That doesn't mean I can go steal.
Okay.
It means if I stole, I have a mitzvah to give it back. But that doesn't mean I can go steal with the intent of giving it back. That's forbidden. If a guy raped a woman, he has to marry her. It doesn't mean he's going around raping women and say, okay, I want to marry this girl. Okay, let's go.
But that's how it works out. That's how it works out.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Of course, some people going around raping people. Not in the old days nowadays.
You're not allowed to. Bezin punishes you. Are you kidding?
Nowadays.
Okay, anyway, I have to go.